Hey everybody, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. Jeremy, Nick, and we're going to continue on with Cortana information. We are on module 3 this time, and we're going to be looking at your app's integration with Cortana and voice commands. So in the last module, Nick was talking about how to get the your app to speak to you, basically, how to get your device to talk to you in real language with a voice. And now we're talking not necessarily about how to talk back to your app. That's the next module. This one is how to tell Cortana how to launch your app. So it's a really common and good scenario, and we're going to look just kind of at the 411 on exactly how to do that. So there's really three steps to getting this done. So these first three bullets are the three ways to implement Cortana integration. You create a VCD, you register it, and then you handle that voice command. So it's really, this is actually very easy.
Yep.
I want you to be encouraged. This is not a difficult concept. This is really quite easy. Now I'm gonna show you slides that walk us through the generation of these this VCD file and what everything means. And in the slides, I'm gonna be showing you C#. But then I'm gonna show you an example and I'm gonna use JavaScript, okay? So I'll show you the same thing twice. So hopefully the concepts will just kind of be drilled right in there. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about relevant adding other languages for your app so that people using other languages will be able to activate by way of Cortana. So let's jump right in. This is the creation of the voice command definition file, VCD. And a VCD is an XML file, so it's nice and easy. And what you're looking at right now is an actual VCD file for an app that I want to tell you about, and that is the MSDN voice search app. Now, I'm gonna go to MSDN, and I'm gonna look for the MSDN voice search, and you're gonna see on MSDN this voice search app for Windows Phone 8.1 sample. It's only available in C#, and that's what these slides are gonna walk you through. All the code can be browsed online. You can click here and download it. You've got this whole thing. And again, I want you to be encouraged because this is the entire VCD for that app. It's not a big deal. It's not really huge. But let's step through each of these elements and see what it is that we need to define in here. You're not going to have to write it from scratch. You're going to go grab a sample from the documentation and paste it in and then just change your stuff. But you need to understand what each of these things are.
Yeah, copy-paste is your friend.
Copy-paste is your friend. Yeah, Control-C, Control-V. So the first thing you should know about is this command prefix. Now, this command prefix, I should step back, is inside of a command set. And I'll give you a little bit of positioning on what those command sets are for when we get to the alternate languages part, because that's what they're for. So within a command set, you have a command prefix. Now, this command prefix is either just your app's name, or it's a simplified name or shorter name for your app. And Cortana is going to be able to use either of these, either the actual name for your app or this command prefix. So if you've got a really strangely named app with like numbers in it and stuff, and Cortana is never going to be able to read this or recognize this, then you put a word in there that you want to use for Cortana to recognize that this person is triggering your app. Okay. Next, you have an example. Now, this is all about informing the user what this app is going to be capable of. So this is advertised whenever you say, Cortana, what can I say? She's going to show a few apps at the bottom, and you're going to see this advertisement about, you're going to see whatever you put in that example string show up just underneath your app.
But every command needs to start with that prefix. So every time you want to start this app, you have to say the name of the prefix and then followed by the command.
And there's a trick in there. The prefix does not have to directly match your app's name.
Correct.
So if you want a kind of a fun way to initiate some activity, then you just you could like say something like, hey there, and that would be the prefix for your app. And that's completely valid.
But at the same time, it's a best practice to try to not mislead the user.
That's right.
So you should not use a prefix, for example, that does not match with your name. So
That's
for example, don't go with some of the top like Facebook and stuff like that. Don't start saying, names that would normally be associated with other apps, because if your app is misleading, unfortunately, it will be taken down. Or if it's not, I mean, users...
It may not pass the store.
It might not even pass the store, and users will also speak up.
Yeah. Okay, now inside of this command set, after we've given our prefix and an example, we can add one to many commands, as many commands as we... Well, actually, there's a limit on the number of commands, but I think it's 10 or something like that.
Oh, no, the voice command set can actually... it's in the hundreds. You can put it.
But I remember, I'll have to look that up. I think it actually is more limited than that. So in this case, we have two commands, two distinct commands. And as it says on the screen here, this is a logical unit of user intent, okay? So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a different thing, but we might have to organize it differently in order to recognize a different command that we want the user to say. So in the first one, we're trying to find text using a certain few terms. And in the second command, let me go ahead and use my, in the second command, this is still, it's still recognizing the user's phrase, the user's language, but in this case, it's allowing them to say whatever they want, and this NLP means that we're going to be using some natural language processing on this one, okay? So there's a bit of a different intent for the first one and the second one there. And inside of that command, you essentially have four things: example, one to many listen fors, feedback, and a navigate. Now the example is once again so that when the user says, what can I say, this example is going to prompt them with, here's the type of thing that you can say for this command. The listen fors are just all the variations, all the different ways that a user could initiate this command. So if I said, for instance, this app's prefix is MSDN. So if I said MSDN search here, that would be identical to saying MSDN find, which would be identical to saying MSDN find and then follow it up with some other words, or search for and then follow it up with some other words. All of these are essentially the same code path for you as the developer. Once this comes into your app and you're handling it, this is all the same code path. And that code path is designated by the command name here. We also have some feedback, because after the user has invoked that command, Cortana comes back with this feedback, both audibly and visibly, so that the user is sure of what they've chosen there, and they have an opportunity to hit back and cancel it if they want. Now this last tag, the navigate, is optional unless you're using a Windows Silverlight app. The Silverlight apps require this because there's a hard direction between this command and the actual page that handles this command. But in all subsequent versions of the phone operating system, you don't have to have that navigate, because you have a little bit more of a free-form way of handling the paths as they come in. Okay, so I talked about the example and how that's going to come back to the user. I talked about the listen fors and the fact that you can have one to many. I talked about the feedback. Now, this is what Cortana comes back with to give you a sample of what was said. And by the way, in this feedback, you can use these terms that you've designated in your listen fors. And so you can really add some value confirming what it is that the user said in what was recognized.
Because Cortana is going to say the feedback. That's the thing.
She's going to say it.
The moment that you launch the app and then she understood a command, then she will confirm to the user by speaking whatever you put in feedback, so the user understands, oh, she really got it.
That's right.
And just like the examples are going to show up in the what can I say.
Uh-huh.
So if you go ask Cortana, what can I say? You scroll down and you look at the list of apps. If you tap on an app, it's going to list all of the examples from your VCD.
That's right.
So the examples are great because they teach your user how to use voice commands with your app.
That's right. Now, I showed you that these listen fors have some slots, some little variables that are surrounded by curly braces. Each of those slots is either a phrase topic or, one that's not displayed here, a phrase list. Now, in older versions, in Windows Phone 8, we had phrase lists, but we had to designate, whenever we created one of these slots, we had to designate, here are the seven terms that could be spoken in that slot. Okay, so you had to hard code all those in. The nice thing is here is we have an added functionality, this phrase topic, where it's more free form. And so now we can accept this free form variable. And this free form is what's going to allow us to do some language processing. So these topics are really powerful. They add a lot of assistance. They're recognized in the cloud, not on the device, and they really improve the speech recognition. There are like 35% fewer errors when you're using these. Now let's look at a side-by-side comparison of the way it worked on Windows Phone 8 versus 8.1. Probably you guys are gonna be working on some some greenfield applications where you're just gonna create a Windows Phone 8.1 project and you might not need to worry about an older one. But in case you do, here are the differences. And the Listen For in the 8 app has that slot in it that I'm talking about. So it has this list search terms. And then that matches the label on this phrase list. And then these are the two things that can be said for that slot, and that's all. Whereas on Windows Phone 8.1, I've got a slot here called Dictated Search Terms, and this one's using a phrase topic, brand new in Windows Phone 8.1, and this topic it's matching based on that label, and it is using a certain scenario and a certain list of subjects that gives Cortana some help in figuring out exactly what your intent is there.
One thing that's really important though is that the phrase list is also still very useful because it will really narrow down what you can say. The thing with dictation or with full topics or search, since you're covering the entire language like English or whatever language is used by default, of course there's a lot of possibilities, so the odds of getting it right are usually a little lower. Whereas with phrase lists, you're narrowing down what can be said by the user. So, and the cool thing is that while the commands themselves are fixed at design time, so whenever you create a VCD, that's it. These are all the only commands that are recognized. Your app cannot add more commands at runtime. The phrase list, though, can be edited at runtime. So, for example, if it's an app about movie reviews or you want to see showtimes for movies, well, the developer won't know ahead of time what movies are playing right now, and you don't want to have to publish an app update every time there's going to be an update. So what you can do is you can pre-populate the phrase list with some classic movies maybe, or with no movies whatsoever. But then the first time the app is run, you can then query a service in the cloud, get the list of movies, edit the phrase list. And then at that point, that means that for that period of time, the movies that are currently playing in the box office will then show up and be recognized by Cortana in your voice commands. And every time you launch the app, you can recheck so that you always get an updated list of movies this way. So phrase topics are great for the search scenario you're talking about here. And it's cool that we have that choice.
It's great. Okay, the next step that we're gonna talk about is registering the VCD. So this VCD that we just created has to be registered with the app. This is a very easy step. I'm actually showing both the JavaScript and the C# way of doing this on the screen at the same time. The JavaScript, the only difference between the actual call on this is that in JavaScript, in typical JavaScript fashion, it's a lowercase I, and in C#, it's an uppercase I. So the actual method names in the underlying framework here are identical, and when it's projected into JavaScript, they use JavaScript conventions. And when it's projected into C#, they use C# conventions. So it's pretty much the same method. In fact, it actually is the same method. It's just projected differently. And so I'm kind of using some convention in my code as well. In JavaScript, we'd create some aliases here, and we would use promises for doing an asynchronous operation, whereas in C#, we would do an await to do an asynchronous operation. But what we're essentially doing is at the very beginning, when the app loads, in fact, the JavaScript version, you would do this in the default JS, and the C# version, you would do this in the app class. So when the app first loads, you'll do this install command sets from the file, from, in this case, the storage file, asynchronously. It's going to go look at that XML file. Here's where we designate the XML file. And it's going to look at all those commands, and it's going to load those commands. So that's it for step two.
Now, one thing to remember is that it's important you do this every time the app is launched for two reasons. For example, first of all, if a user downloads your app, they will not be able to launch the app with voice commands until they've actually launched the app once, because this is what triggers the registration of the voice command list. But at the same time, it's possible that after a while, let's say the user never uses your app for like 2 weeks or more. I think the cutoff line is about 2 weeks. At that point, if you don't launch an app often enough, Cortana will kind of forget about your voice commands. The point is that, I mean, how many times have we downloaded an app where it sounded nice at first, we use it, but then, you know what, we don't use it anymore. Or maybe we uninstalled it. So the last thing we want is our phone to be cluttered with all these voice commands for apps that we don't use. So Cortana thinks, well, if you're never launching that app, chances are you don't want to use it anymore, so I'm not going to try to remember all those commands that could technically create confusion with other voice commands. And the cool thing by registering your VCD every single time you launch the app is even if you launch the app via voice command, then it will re-register the VCD, resetting the timer, and therefore you'll be good for another couple of weeks. So that's why if you try to launch an app with voice commands and it doesn't recognize it, maybe just try to launch the app manually first to make sure that Cortana remembers.
There you go. So that was it for step two. Step three is actually handling the voice command once you're inside your app. So once again, this is where we're going to see some serious C#. I'm showing you the Windows runtime example. So this is on Windows Phone 8.1. At the beginning, Cortana is the one that's hearing this phrase. She's passing it in through the system to the app class for your app. So this is where you, this is where the actual recognition is passed in. And you handle that, and then you determine what the code path should be in your app. Because that app class is going to determine which page to pass the user to, depending on what command they spoke and what options they spoke. So then your page handles that, and it maps the intent with the action, what exactly should happen. So now what you're looking at is what you would find in the app class. This is what would come in when the user first spoke a command. Cortana recognized it. She brings it into here, and notice that the first line here is if the kind is activation kind voice command. That means if they entered the app by way of a voice command, as opposed to maybe they launched the app from the start screen or any of the various other ways this app could be reactivated or launched. In this case, it was launched by way of voice command. So you need to know that, and you need to handle that in here. Now, when it's launched by way of voice command, you get this voice command activated event args object, which contains a speech recognition result. So that's the vargs result right here. And that, if we look at the first rule path in that, we get what we are going to store here as the voice command name. So this is the name of the command from your VCD that they've chosen. So in this case, there was either the find one or there was the natural language processing one. So then we'll switch on that voice command, and it was either find text or NLP command. If you looked back at the VCD, you'd see both of those. And we, as the developer, determined that if it was find text, we want to send them to the find text page. And if it was NLP command, we want to send them to the NLP command page. So that was just our choice. So here we've been sent to a page. In this case, we're on the findtext.xaml.cs page, and we're in the onNavigated to. So the onNavigated to here fires when we first get to that page, and we know, because we made it, that we're expecting a speech recognition result to be the parameter that was passed into this page navigation. So we know that e.parameter is a speech recognition result, so we can grab it, and we can work based off of it. So what are we going to do here? Well, the first thing that we're going to do is if the command was find text, then we look at the semantics and see if they added some search terms. So they may have just said find, or they may have said find XYZ. If they said find XYZ, then we're going to find that the semantics collection contains XYZ, and we have access to that search term. So now we can not only like bring them to the search page, but we can automatically do a search for XYZ. So then the last thing that we need to do there is, in that reset, let me try that again. The last thing we need to do there is, there we go. The last thing, once again, that we need to do is handle the command. And I'm on the next slide. That's the wrong slide, but there we go. We need to either handle the find text with the search terms, or we need to handle it without any search terms whatsoever. And then we may also have been navigated to the other command. So in this case, we're using the nlpcommand.xaml.cs. And I'm actually going to show you the rest of the handling of this one in a later module where we talk about what to do when you're accepting freeform text from the user and you want to handle that by way of a natural language processing algorithm. Okay? So we'll skip right over that. Now, you do have access, and this is really important. Whenever your app is activated and you get this this speech recognition command, you have a property in here that tells you whether or not the user spoke it or typed it. Now, why would you want to know that? Because if they typed it, you don't want to talk back to them.
Exactly.
This is an absolutely critical decision, and we'll look at this in the design guidelines. You never want your app to talk to the user if they haven't first talked to it. You never, in fact, want to talk to the user unless they are explicitly expecting it. And this is the way you handle that whenever they've come in through the voice command path, because you can find out whether they have done that by way of voice or by way of type.
And it's a common mistake, because sometimes developers assume that if there were parameters for the voice command, then automatically that meant, hey, voice commands were used, so I'm allowed to speak back.
That's right.
But just because it's called voice commands, you can still get those parameters if the voice command was typed directly in Cortana. So that's really important. So just because the app was activated by voice command doesn't mean you're allowed to talk. So always look for, you should remain silent if the app was launched directly by the tile, via a toast, via a secondary tile, or via a voice command where the mode was actually set to text instead
of
voice.
Tell me how that actually works in your apps.
So, it's basically the way that you've just explained it. So making sure that if you need to show feedback to the user, and it's entirely dependent on the type of app that you're writing. So for example, if the whole reason for being of that app is to provide feedback that's audio, then like the audiobook sample I showed earlier, well, it's kind of a given at that point that the user probably wants to hear the audio played back. But of course, since the text of the book is directly on screen, it's very fair that maybe the user wants to launch the app with voice command, and then they just want to read the text.
Yeah.
But if they launch launch it with voice commands using voice, then at that point, they might want to just hear it, so then you can play it back.
Are there scenarios where I would want to bring the user in the app, and I really don't need to switch between whether or not they spoke or typed, because I always want to act as if they typed, like I always want to be silent?
I'm sure there are scenarios out there. The thing is, every time I try to cover all the scenarios possible, I always make sure that users can send me feedback, and users keep educating me about how they're using my apps. And sometimes it's funny, because you realize that your app had a certain intent, and then later you realize people are using the app in a completely different way or in a different context.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, I had never thought it would be useful in such a way.
Yeah, in a later module, we're going to talk about the importance of testing when it comes to voice testing, and testing with real users and with real scenarios. And I think that one really good test strategy for any app, but more specifically or more especially when you're dealing with voice, is to release your app to some beta, some subset of the overall population. If you just put it in the store and it's available to everyone, everyone sees it, it's maybe too much. If you can release it to a small subset of the population, and then you can gather some feedback, use that feedback to drive the feature changes and in the resulting app.
And that's why, for example, everybody that's watching right now, they're all developers. They've all experienced like creating a UI and then releasing it to some users. And then users start using the UI in ways that they never thought possible. Because as a developer, of course, you know that you're supposed to click this first, this second, this third. So it's kind of like ingrained in your brain that you're not going to try the weird scenarios.
Yeah.
But users will always try the weird things.
Yeah.
Now imagine if there's no UI. The user can just say whatever they want.
Yeah.
So this is what you have to test for.
Yeah.
People will say quite a few interesting things.
Okay, well, let's actually look at a hard, cold example of how to do this. I mean, we looked at slides, but slides can lie, right? I didn't lie on my slides, of course, but slides can lie. And here's the hard, cold example. The hard, cold example is CommandMonkey. CommandMonkey, the code is already up. It's available at github.com/codefoster/CommandMonkey. You may not be familiar with TweetMonkey. I talked about it at the beginning, but if you're not, you can feel free to go to codefoster.com/TweetMonkey, and it might give you a little bit of context here. TweetMonkey is a blog article that I made where I took this is a maker project. I took this real monkey that I got at the novelty shop, hooked it up to an Intel Edison and a relay, and then on that Intel Edison, I'm running Node, so I'm running JavaScript on that, and I'm able to write an app that hooks into the Twitter streaming API so that whenever you tweet #TweetMonkey, this guy goes clang, 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 and he goes off, and it's kind of fun, right? It's fun. It's certainly fun to show at events. So that's TweetMonkey, and I actually just last night finished my blog post on CommandMonkey, TweetMonkey's older brother, CommandMonkey. So this is the architecture that I'm going to be talking to you about right now in the slides, and you can go to my GitHub repository and get the code, and you can go to the blog post and you can see Command Monkey. So let's jump over to this architecture slide and get an idea for how this works. Now, this is a pretty involved architecture, and I'm only going to talk about the voice commands right now. In a later module, in module 6, I'm going to be talking about this full scope and how this is implemented. But right now, I just want to write the VCD with you, register it, and then handle the user's intent. And it's very, very short, okay? So let's open Visual Studio. Now, this is vanilla Visual Studio 2013, the community edition, so it's the free edition. Anybody can go to visualstudio.com and download it. There's one thing that I've added to this, and that is something called Node.js Tools for JavaScript. Now, Node.js Tools for, I'm sorry, for JavaScript, for Visual Studio.
For Visual Studio.
Node.js Tools for Visual Studio is at nodejstools.codeplex.com. It's an excellent plugin that really lights up a lot of really cool Node scenarios, and I'll point those out as we go through them. So I'm going to hit New Project.
Sounds like you're using Ultimate there, but...
Oh, it does look like... Oh, yeah, you're right. That is.
But in all fairness, everything here works with Community, so you don't have to pay for anything.
There you go. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay, now let me just go ahead and create a new project. Wherever the default location is fine. But in this case, for the name of the project, I'm going to call this Command Monkey dot, and this is just the phone project. That's the first project that I want to create. So I'm going to say dot phone. Now, I want my solution to just be called Command Monkey. So solutions contain multiple projects. And in this step, I'm actually doing two things. I'm creating a project and a solution, the containing solution. Right. So the project is commandmonkey.phone, and the solution is Command Monkey. But I don't want just a regular web app in Visual Studio. I want to go to C#. And this is because I installed the Node.js tools for Visual Studio. I go to Node.js. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. That's for the subsequent projects. For this one, I actually want a store app. Windows Phone app.
Now
I'm just going to do a blank one.
And to be clear here, what we're building is a Windows Phone application, because today voice commands only work on Windows Phone.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why there's no Windows Store equivalent with Windows 8.1. But coming with Windows 10, VCDs and the Cortana integration is coming to Windows 10.
Yep. The same things that you know today will go forward, just get open you up on new operating systems.
And you heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't. If you watched the keynote, you didn't.
Actually, they didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Oh, interesting. There
was no developer stuff. So interesting. This is an exclusive.
Okay, so I have a project called commandmonkey.phone, and there is I need to create a VCD here. It's really easy. You just right-click here and say, I want to add a new, and you could choose an XML file or whatever. I usually just choose text file and say, this is a VCD.XML. And so there's my VCD. It's blank. How am I going to fill that in? Should I type this in front of you all?
Please don't.
No, please don't. No. Let's just grab it, and you can see how relatively simple it is. It's actually not tons simpler than the MSDN sample, but there it is. Now, I do remember learning at the very beginning that the XML tag at the beginning here is required. Otherwise, you will run into problems. You have to have that declaration. Here's my voice commands.
And to be clear, also earlier when I was talking about the number of commands we can have, so to clarify here, you can have one or more command sets. So usually you'll create a command set per language. So you can have up to 15 command sets.
Okay.
One for each language, basically. And then each command set can have 100 commands.
Interesting.
In it. And then you can also have phrase lists, as we've seen, that help you narrow down the words that you can say within a command.
Okay.
The phrase list can have 2,000 elements.
Excellent.
So it's you.
So not enough to hold all movies that have ever been made.
No, not all of them, but at least the ones playing
most popular.
But maybe the ones playing right now.
Right.
I think you're covered. Yes.
There you go. Okay, so I've got myself a command set, English only at this point. My prefix is simply monkey. So the name of this app might be called Command Monkey, but I don't want people to have to say Command Monkey. I want them to be able to just say monkey. So I give a prefix of monkey. Now the example is Command the Monkey. That's going to be reported to them in the what can I say? And I have one simple command here. The command example is dance. Now the combination of the prefix and the example is what the user is going to see when they ask Cortana, what can I say? Cortana is going to report that you can say monkey dance in that order. Okay. Now, the listen for is just a command. What is it that you're asking the monkey to do? Now, at this point, it's a little bit silly because my monkey's only capable of doing one thing, but I've designed this VCD with a couple of extra phrase list items so that, you know, maybe we had an IoT project where the monkey was capable of either dancing or chattering or whatever. Now, Cortana simply comes back with commanding. I'm doing it. I'm doing what you asked, but you can put whatever you want there. So there's my VCD. Now let me jump over to the my sample code here, and I'm going to take you into the JS, default JS, and I'm going to show you that in the onActivated, and I've got this on the blog in the notes and everything, but you're going to put this at the beginning of the onActivated function. So here's my onActivated function, and at the beginning of that, it might be nice to make a little comment, and you're going to paste all that in, and this is going to look in the root directory of this project for vcd.xml, and it's going to load it. Okay, nice and easy.
Nice.
Next step. Now, still in the default JS, we need to handle that, and we do that by looking at our handling for our activations. So here's the default if it was launched. That means they clicked on it from their start screen, okay? But we need to add an else if. Else if they activated it by way of a voice command, then we want to do this. So let me just maximize this so you can see all the code there. So the command, I'm pulling that from the semantic interpretation and I'm looking at the first command, okay? So I'm pulling in, and remember, I put a variable in there. Let me jump back to that. I put a variable in there, and I know because this variable is mapped to this phrase list that it's either going to be dance or chatter,
or chatter.
Nothing else. If I wanted it to be more arbitrary, I could use a phrase topic, but here I'm using a phrase list. But it's going to be dance or chatter. Now, what I'm going to do is very simple. For this app, this is the entirety of the phone app, I'm going to do an HTTP GET request to a service that we have not yet created, and I'm going to pass in that command. Okay?
Cool.
So I've done all three now. I have defined my VCD, I've registered my VCD up here, and now I have handled the voice command itself. I've handled what it is that's actually going to happen. And those are the three steps. You saw it in C Sharp, and you saw it in JavaScript. And later in the course today, you're going to see the finishing of the Command Monkey project.
We're going to see the monkey?
We're going to see the monkey. Wow. Yeah, he's here today.
See, there's no, I don't know if you expected these enterprise Contoso demos, but today we're crawling through dungeons and making monkeys dance.
Yeah, you didn't expect the monkey, did you?
No.
No. Okay, well, let's go ahead and look at our last section here, and that is the localization of our app for all of our relevant languages. Now, I'm going to show pretty much the same slide that Nick showed earlier, because it's the same 15 languages that are supported, only I grayed out Korean, because like he mentioned, that's only available on Windows 8.1, so it's not
correct
on the phone. Okay, but those are the languages that you can support, and I'm not going to walk all the way through the example, but the long and short of how to create alternate languages is this. You create a different command set. So those command sets map one to one to a different language, and you can see that for the English, or for the first command set that we created, it is not only English, but it's English US, so it's a specific culture. And if we wanted to create one for French, sorry, this is not Canadian French, this is French,
yeah,
then we would use Fur.
Yeah, there's no support for French Canadian. We have to make do with the French from France.
French.
It's okay. We understand that.
You can get it.
But they don't understand us.
I've heard that's the way it works. Okay, so as you can see, adding different languages is not that difficult. And I would say, man, it's hugely important.
It is.
And it's not that difficult because there's not a lot of commands and words that you need to get translations for here. It's not like you're trying to translate an app full of content. You're just translating the commands that get a person into the app, let alone the fact that your whole app should support multiple languages.
Yeah, but it's also very powerful because here we have 15 languages and we can have up to 15 command sets. Well, we know how some languages are actually just variants of an existing language, like English, US, Great Britain, and India, and Spanish, and basically Spain and Mexico. So what that means is you could even adapt your app to some of the local terms that people would be using. Maybe it is a certain term that people would search in a different way in Spain compared to Mexico.
That's right.
So that's where, again, testing. Find people that are from those locales. Find people that understand these languages very well. Make them test it.
Yeah. That's excellent. Okay, so here's what we looked at in a rather short amount of time. We did the three steps necessary for defining the voice command for your app. That is creating the voice command file, and it was very easy. Registering that voice command file, and in both languages we saw it, and it was very easy both times. And then handling the voice command, that's really where all of the magic's gonna happen in your app. That's when Cortana has passed it off to you, and you determine what happens when a user comes in by way of this pass.
Is here
hey, look at this.
The monkey is here.
Hey! The monkey is with us
today. The monkey
today.
Is here.
Hey, monkey, dance.
Monkey dance.
Oh, it doesn't. We haven't doesn't reached get that section of the. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to launch the app first. So, but we're going to demo all of this in Module 6, right?
You'll
get to see it in action.
Yeah,
so
we'll
far, we've seen the code, but you'll get to see it in action.
You'll get to see the rest of the code.
The rest.
We're
of
actually going to be writing two more projects and an entire phone. Let's just say this: band to Cortana to phone to web.
Band. Yes.
Down to Command Monkey, rather.
Right.
So, okay, well, that's the summary of what we've seen in this module. So thanks for joining us, and we're going to take a meal break now. So we're going to be back in about an hour.
Top of the hour, yes.
Yeah, something like that, top of the hour. So we'll see you then.